This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 28, 2021. The first Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That sounds like a very tall order. Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. I'll tell myself, I don't fit that definition right now. I really can't see it ever happening. But it doesn't matter. I must strive. This is what we are presented in Advent. Advent, it is the liturgical new year. We start anew in the cycle. The cycle in which there are two peaks, Easter and Christmas. Those two things are so important that they are preceded by a lengthy time of preparation. Easter, it's Lent, that's for then. Advent is for now. Advent, the coming of our Lord. We do not celebrate Advent. We do not engage in this season to have some vague memorial of a past event, our Lord's coming in Bethlehem. He did that. That's over 2,000 years ago. That's history. This is for our engagement right now. And a lot of people, and in the prayers of the liturgy, it speaks of the coming judgment. It's not about Advent being the coming of Him as judge, first and foremost. It is preparing ourselves for the judgment. Advent is for us. It is not to, again, present a remembrance of things that are happening or bring to mind things that are going to happen, but to have us engage right here and right now in making ourselves better for our Lord in preparation for His coming. This is Paul's message in the second writing today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. It's his exhortation to the righteous of their, check it out, obligation. Our obligation of always striving to increase in virtue. This is why we have a liturgical cycle, because we are presented with this engagement in virtue and the obligation to increase in this virtue. This is our Catholic life. And Advent and Lent, these seasons of preparation, they are to get us to really practically think about this. We know what we're supposed to do. A lot of people, they approach messages like, when you talk about sin, you talk about obligations, you talk about judgment, and they all shut down. Like they approach the proposition of their, you know, you've got bad and you're good. Well, I'm not that, so I must be bad, and you know, I can't strive enough to be good. It's not a matter of bad and good. Badness is out there in the world. Give ourselves a little bit of credit. I should say we need to give the Holy Spirit a little bit of credit. He brought us by His grace to a point where we were baptized. However that happened, whether you're born into a faithful Catholic family or whether you came to the faith later in life, He, by His grace, has brought us to baptism. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And as a result of that, as a consequence of that, we have to appreciate that the things that we learn about God, again, it's not a matter of a proposition of bad and good. It's a matter for us in these walls. You know, let's keep it focused in here. We talk so much about the world today. For us, it is a matter of being good, but always understanding that we could be better. That's our Catholic life. Our Catholic life is getting better. It is not a matter of just this vague presentation of, well, go to Mass on Sunday and you're good. No, we're not. That's bare minimums. Good, better than being a pagan, good in that respect, but we can always be better. So approach it like, I'm good, but I could be better. This is Paul's message. He says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, you do so more and more. Progression. This is what the Holy Spirit obliges us to do as Catholics. Get better. That's what we do, should do, be doing every Advent. Notice, you'll hear all these folks, it's a time of joyful anticipation. If it's joyful in the church liturgically, it's white. The color is white. For the next 4 weeks, it's purple. Why? Because purple, you know, penance and all, woe is me. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's more of an engagement kind of thing. There is room for improvement. Any penance, why do we do penance? To improve. Not to spank ourselves, to chastise ourselves, to improve. That's why we do penance. We are supposed to increase, become better, more and more, thus saith the Lord. Again, my oft-presented criticisms of how the lectionary presents stuff. The last verse in Paul's reading today, you know, we read, St. Paul says, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we hear the word of the Lord. Thank you. What are the instructions? What are they? Go figure. It's the next verse, and it's one sentence. This is one that always is up in your face, because I'm always saying, people, and I use my mocking voice, I wish I knew the will of God for my life. And I always say, open the book. Because if you open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, guess what? In one sentence, it starts like this. This is kind of a no-brainer. For this is the will of God. Wow. There it is. This is the will of God. Your sanctification, and that you abstain from immorality. That's the will of God for the Catholic. Sanctification, abstaining from immorality. Sanctification, very churchy word. Becoming holy. That's what it means. Being set aside for the service of God. Okay, that's sanctification. And actually, the Greek word that's used, where it's translated sanctification here, is more focused on our personal purity. We need to, as Paul goes on to say, we need to learn how to control this vessel in which the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And it is a difficult proposition. But we are supposed to become better more and more. We are supposed to continually be sanctified. I was sanctified when I was baptized. Yes, you were. Bare minimums. You are called upon to become more sanctified, more personally pure before God, that you abstain from immorality. This is where all those commandment lessons and all those precept lessons come into play. We know what we're supposed to do. St. Paul says it. The Holy Spirit presumes that you're paying attention and reading Scripture when he says that as you learned from us, you know what you're to do. We just got this big doing it problem. And seasons like Advent and Lent are where you get put in the forefront of our mind and start working on it. This is what the Holy Spirit demands of us. We are obliged to do this. We should have a Christian New Year's resolution. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions on January 1st, and we know what goes on with them. Those are usually meaningless. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to the gym. Yeah, okay, whatever. Just take a little walk every now and then, you know. Don't set these, they're great. And if you do them, that's excellent. We're talking spirituality here. We're talking eternal destiny. We need to make resolutions at our new year on this day and stick with them, because that's the way we get better. Living your life where we're just basically, I go to church because I don't want to do bad things, fleeing from evil. That's not enough. That's not enough. St. John Chrysostom says this. He says, fleeing from evil is not the be-all of virtue. It is the beginning of the path that leads to virtue. One needs, in addition, to have an ardent desire to be good and to do good. No both, not just be good, shun evil, to be good and to do good. This is what the saint says. We need to ever become, I do good and I'm good now. Okay, desire to be better and do better. This is our focus as Catholics. This is our prime focus, is to please God. St. John also said, Christians ought to have only one anxiety, how they ought to please God. You really think about that, and I love nothing better than to get up here and talk about all the badness that's going on in the world and in the church, because we need to know about it. We need to know how to deal with it. We need to know our enemies. That's important. But we also need to step back and look at the forest for the trees every now and then. And we have to understand that at the end of the day, everything that we do or don't do is not dotting I's and crossing T's, but we should do it to please God, to prove our love to Him. Because He has raised us up above this trash. Alfonso Rodriguez, one of the best spiritual writers that has ever lived, he actually uses analogies. When we're lifted up in faith, I mean, we're baptized and we're confronted, we live a life of faith, we have been raised up over this tumultuous, raging sea of trash that's down here. And he uses the illustration, he goes on, he goes, you know, it's like as if we're sitting on the edge of a mountain and we're looking over at this sea where there's a raging storm, huge waves, and you're looking out, there's a bunch of ships there. Some of them have sunk. Some of them are sinking quickly. Some of them are leaking and going to sink. You see people who have already drowned floating around. You see people struggling to get to the edge. That's the world. That's the world, because when you're in that situation, you're focused on yourself. You're focused on your own dangers. That's the world. We've been raised above that. We've been raised above that. We're supposed to look out on that and try to do everything we can to help those folks that are in that. That we are up here, and we are supposed to strive to get even higher, because the higher you are, the better you see things like that. Your perspective becomes very, very unique in being able to get a grand scheme view of things, as opposed to looking at things myopically, to be focused on things, because we got to watch out where our focus lies, because we're sin, cursed, and fallen. And if our focus is on our frail natures or dictated by our frail natures, we start to lose this sight about getting any better and just trying to survive. That's not us. That is not us. We're Catholics. We're called to be better. Year by year, day by day, hour by hour. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Getting yourself better. Our Lord warns us in the gospel today about this. You know, He gives us a warning that you better be doing this, because I like it. If He had said the snares of this world are going, even if He said they're going to come on everyone, someone somewhere would say, well, it's those people to whom He's talking. It doesn't mean everyone. It's the people to whom He's talking. But you know, He doesn't say everyone. He wants to make it crystal clear. He says, these things will come upon everyone who dwells on the face of the earth. That's everybody. And you need to prepare yourself for the snare. You need to watch out for the snare. That whole snare, the trap thing. Why does Jesus use that illustration? Why do animals, I mean, in some contexts, people on occasion, booby traps, why do they fall into them? Because there's something attractive there that they want. You ever watch a video of an animal, like the mouse trap videos? You can tell the mice know something. They're like, they like hesitate. They look around, and but the bait that's on there is so overwhelmingly attractive, they snag it. The rest is history. What is the bait that our Lord, why has He given us this analogy? Because our bait is sin. Our bait is things in this world that are very attractive, and we know better. And as we approach them, we're just like that mouse. And then all of a sudden, we hope the line's not too long at the confessional the next week.
We fall into this stuff. This is why our Lord uses that analogy. Because he said, you need to pay attention. All right? You need to pay attention to these snares. Because the things of this earth, both things that we do and the things over which we have no control, they can weigh our hearts down. I said, you know, we hear a lot, and rightfully so, pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on in the world and the church right now. We cannot lay that weigh down our hearts, to use the words of the scriptures. We cannot pay so much attention to them that we lose sight of our own sanctification. I got to check myself every now and then, because like every single day I wake up and there's something new and I get all bent out of shape. And then I think to myself, I got to give myself a reality check. You know what? Most of the stuff that I get really upset about happens on another continent that's thousands of miles away and separated by an ocean. And most of those dudes that are doing this or that or the other thing are never going to show up here. So why should I worry all that much about it? It's my job to put you on notice that you got to be a little bit careful about what's going on there. But at the end of the day, I got to worry about what goes on here. That anxiety that St. John Chrysostom says, my only anxiety should be pleasing God in this place. I got nothing about pleasing God in Rome or in Africa or South America. Nowhere. I'm here. This should be my anxiety. Each and every one of us in here should worry about our only anxiety should be, it's not that we don't think about these other things, but our only anxiety should be, while this is going on, am I keeping focused? Am I being wary of the traps? We need to aim high. You don't want to just look at what's going on right in front of you. That's what gets the mouse's head smashed in the mouse trap. We need to focus on a more grand scheme of things. St. Alphonsus, again, he says, he talks about, spiritually, we're like this. And even if you haven't shot a bow and arrow, everybody gets it. Most people, they've seen it done. You know, we know how it works, right? This bowstring is as tight as it can possibly be, perfectly tight, just before it's going to bust that bow. You can take an arrow and you can put it and you can aim right at that target 100 yards away, let it fly, and it will hit that target. That's if everything's perfect. Alphonsus says that we must aim a lot higher because spiritually our bowstrings are loose to a greater or lesser extent. We're not perfect. It's not perfectly tight. So if you have a bow that has somewhat of a loose bowstring, what do you have to do to hit that target 100 yards away? You got to aim higher. You got to aim high so it goes, as it starts to drop, it will hit the target you're aiming at. This is why it's bad to approach life and, I'm pretty good. I go to Mass on Sundays. I just try to keep from committing mortal sins. That's aiming at the target. And if anybody has that approach, their bowstring is really weak. Guess what? They're not going to hit it. So if you're aiming at, I don't want to commit mortal sin, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to hit that. And generally speaking, you will hit mortal sin. You will commit a mortal sin. So what do we got to do? Aim higher. I try my best not to commit venial sins. Because if you're on guard for venial sins, the mortal sin should be really a non-issue. You know, you do your best to keep from committing venial sins. That's aiming higher. The arrow is going to drop a little bit. And at least you won't commit mortal sins. You'll commit a venial sin every now and then. Thought, word, and deed. But, you know, then you fix that and you go on. The mortal sin is devastating. It separates us from the grace of Christ. We can't have it. We need to aim higher. Okay, we need to continually be... We hear examination of conscience. Oh, what I did wrong today. That should stand out in your mind. Okay, what you did wrong today or what you omitted to do in any given day. The examination of conscience should really be focused on what could you do better? How could I have done this better? You might have done it well. There's always room for improvement. We just have a serious, serious issue with thinking about our own deficiencies. We all got them. I'll speak for myself. Nobody's perfect. We all have deficiencies. You can be good at something. You could be better. So if you could improve, there's a deficiency there that you could improve upon. We don't like to admit that we don't have it going on. And we don't pay attention to our consciences. That's a huge deficiency. Your conscience will direct you. Like it's keeping away from the bait of the traps. It's a deficiency that we are really attracted to things. If we know that we're deficient in that, we are always focused on not falling into these sins because everybody's got a different hot button issue. Okay, we need to continually think on our deficiencies. We've all got them. Just listen to ourselves. You look at the great saints, and that's why they're great saints now, is because they always thought upon where they could do things better. When they were confronted with where they didn't do as well as they thought, they were crushed by it. St. Francis Xavier. You know, he's St. Francis Xavier because of his missionary zeal. He's St. Francis Xavier because the man advanced the kingdom of Jesus Christ in areas of this world where during his time, that wasn't a healthy thing to do. He evangelized India. He evangelized Asia, a bunch of different places. He went to Japan when Japan just opened to allow Westerners in. And St. Francis Xavier, when he got there, when he pulled into the harbor, he was crushed. He said he was overwhelmed with grief at his deficiency. He said, "Here I am. I have the treasures of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a faith that I could spread and save souls from hell. I could increase the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ in this land. And when we pull into the harbor, what do I see but a bunch of ships that are occupied by Westerners that beat me here? And who are they? Merchants." He said, "They're here to sell stuff to people so they can make money. They put their lives in danger. They got here as soon as they possibly could. And here I am, and I have all these riches, and I came here after them. I should have been the first one here." Don't be so hard on your St. Francis. Yeah, he should be. That's why he's St. Francis, and I'm not. Because he looked at his deficiencies. We got to know our deficiencies. We got to know our weaknesses. We got to pay attention to ourselves, because our conscience will generally tell us when we're deficient. We just don't like to admit it. Worldly illustration. For me, it's generally when I try to be the handyman. I'm not good at it. The vast majority of tools that I own now are hand tools. The reason, because power tools are unforgiving, particularly a couple incidents. I'm using a power tool and I'm like, "Oh, I shouldn't really be doing this. This is kind of, I could mess up with it. Ah, it'll be okay. Oh, darn it, man." We've got to pay attention to ourselves. Be aware of your deficiencies. Be aware of your weaknesses. This is the reality of things. Because we are called to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and it's going to come on all of us. Everybody who walks the face of the earth. We have to be unblameable and holiness before God. Again, sounds like an overwhelming task, but what is it? What is being blameless? To love him. That's all he asks. To love him above everything else. Love him above anything you love in this world. To put him first. Everything else falls into place. You gotta love your neighbor as yourself? Yeah. Why do we love our neighbor as ourselves? For Christ's sake. That's why we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because we love God. It's all about loving him. And he expects that. And that, if we do that, we're blameless before him. If we love one another, if we worry about our personal purity, if we worry about engaging in immorality and our self-control, all those things put together, it proves our love to him. This is what he wants. This is what we should have in the forefront of our mind during these seasons like Advent and Lent. Leave you with the words of that, as you learned how you ought to live and to please God. Is that not, as St. John Chrysostom says, our only anxiety, to please him? In Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.